Hello, I'm Brent.
And I'm Dan.
Welcome to the journey.
We're glad to have you here this week. We hope you enjoyed our last podcast. Keep in mind, we're just two country boys getting started and sharing the good news of the journey. We're sitting here in our lush studio in the beautiful
Greenfield, Tennessee.
That's right. Nestled in between the building's the size of a carport.
Surrounded by mud puddles.
That's right. That's right. Of course, we are warm. We're in the little studio. We have a potbelly stove with a fire going, and it's just a real nice atmosphere, warm. It's going to be cold tonight, so if you are in a place where it's warm, just pray for us. In the last podcast, we talked about the things of the institution, the signs and the things that they did that were contrary to how Father taught. We're fixing to move into the series of the journey, but we want to, a very important part we need to discuss, and that is the signs that Father is calling you out.
Mm-hmm.
You remember some of those, don't you?
Yeah.
The last podcast we had, Brent went into some detail on that. And I want to touch about that. Just go back and hit those just a little bit. When you were in the services, you went expecting something, and I know you were in two good churches, but did it ever seem like there was always something more?
There's always something missing.
Can't put your finger on it, can you?
A lot of hors d'oeuvres, but no meal.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
They serve appetizers, but yeah, there's no main courses.
There you go. No time.
That's right.
Once the program is completed, the clock is run down, and it's time to go.
You know, there used to be a saying, you could see the light, you could gauge the life of a group of people in a church by how long they stayed after the service was over.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, if you go back when I was a kid, man, it's like nobody wanted to leave.
Right.
And I think it was different then than it is now.
Definitely.
You know, we've advanced and tried to compete with society, the institution has, and where you have more people to draw from, you can get a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But there were signs. There were things. I'll start out on this, and then we'll bat this thing around. And one of the things that I questioned, Brent, was how things were done.
Right.
You know, the isolation of women are good enough to serve, but there's certain positions they can't serve in.
Mm-hmm.
Keep their mouth keep silent. You know, and they were big about it. If you don't learn anything, learn from your husband. What about a woman who didn't have a husband?
Right. Yeah.
Who she's supposed to ask,
mm-hmm.
you know. But when you went in, for me, I started looking at how we did the sacraments,
mm-hmm.
how we did the Lord's Supper, how we did invitations. And I started looking back at those, and then what I learned in Scripture, they really didn't line up with how Father did them, how Jesus did them in
right.
his day, you know. What were some other things, telltale signs that you knew Father was working and calling you out of what you've been doing?
Well, I guess with me, it was just the emptiness. You know, that was the big one with me. You know, I was always the last to leave just for the reason that, you know, maybe something would spark up with somebody afterwards and it'd be good conversation or communication. On top of the fact that I was the one that shut the lights off and locked the door. But, I mean, there was a hunger that was unsatisfied.
All right, let's look at that for a moment. You went and you didn't want to leave.
Right.
Like you said, there was a hunger there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you first went, did you think that hunger, you would see that in others, and that you would see that people hanging around people sharing with each other, spending time with them, because you know they don't during the week.
Right, yeah. They'll come up to you on Sunday and tell you how much they missed you, but they never called you or never came to check on you. Isn't that funny how that works?
Yes. Well, what I thought about when you said that, it's kind of like getting a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you think about this. You got to get your booster shot each week of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's no different going to the doctor. I don't know anybody that loves shots, and they'll right. put it off. But then they go, you know, they get sick. They get these shots. They call them cocktails now, or Decordine shots, that it's a combo of three ingredients. Well, I'm sick, and I guess I need to go, but I don't want to stay long. Right. I want to go get just what I need.
Yeah.
And then go. And then you have the person here that's listening to these podcasts. They're not that way.
Right.
They're going for something. Their soul to be fed.
Mm-hmm.
To have true fellowship. To see God in a way they've never seen Him.
To get another piece of the puzzle that they hadn't found yet.
Right.
There were always maybe one or two that would stay after, but for the majority, they were cutting and running, man, when the last song was done.
Well, we're all so busy. We've got so much to do, you know. We've got our Sundays even planned, even though it's a day of rest.
Right.
You know, the thing about that, when you go to sleep, you make no plans after you're unconscious.
That's true.
Well, and the only way you come out of the unconsciousness, if you're sleeping, you sleep well, is an alarm clock.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, here's the second thing. This is the one thing for me. Like you said earlier, everything was so predictable. But when, for you who are listening, maybe God's put you in a place that you have experienced something with Him. Here we go. And you lose track of time.
Mm.
When you get in the presence of God, maybe you have experienced that, and you're looking for that again.
Looking for more of that, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, when you get in His presence, man, He's not caught in time like we are.
Right.
And so when you're in His presence, time goes out the window, doesn't it?
It does. And once you experience that, you've got to have more,
mm-hmm.
you know. Some of the other things that... for me, Father used was one, I was looking for a genuine relationship, not only with Father, but with a genuine love with other people. And I'm not talking love at a distance. This is not the ironclad rule, but it is in general. Most time, if you attend a church, you sit in church with those people or go to Sunday school. And then if you're sick, you might get a phone call. But what we have in our fellowship, that was what I was always looking for.
Right, yeah.
And you'll find, if you're the person listening and you missed a couple services, now think about this. People call, but they always got to spin the pitch.
They're calling out of duty.
Yeah, and to make some, most time to make you feel guilty.
Yeah, and it's not a love thing from the heart that they're that concerned in most cases.
And I mean, yeah, and that's not always the case. I mean, that's just...
Could it be that your name is on a list with a few others and it's just, you know, I got a call to say I called them?
Right.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, it does exist out there like that.
It does, yeah. It really does. And you really don't, in that environment, you don't have time to foster a true relationship with others, those who are walking with Father. So I noticed that. Then I noticed how money was handled, how business was conducted, and how quickly people... Look, I was in a church service, man, when I was a kid in a business meeting when one guy pulled a knife on another in a Baptist church. All over how money was going to be handled in the church.
Nice.
So here you are. Let's go back to, I'm sorry, I kind of let a rabbit loose. You're sitting in the church. You're not feeling that peace that Father gives. You're hungry for more. it's not that, that what the preacher's preaching isn't true, but it just doesn't seem to resonate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's another one that you and I have had many conversations on in the last month. Why is it resonating? If you're the person that's being called on the journey, all you've heard, every message comes back to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more. The cross was a means to an end. Yeah, as Dr. Miles Monroe said.
Well, it was the entry point.
Absolutely.
That's what it is. We'd be lost without it. But there's more to it.
That's right.
And for whatever reason, the church seems to get you in the door. They're faithful, is that not true, to get you to get people in?
They do the best that they can.
And they give you the message and get you into the kingdom. And then it seems like once you make it through that door, it's just a bunch of do's and don'ts now.
Yeah, there's no real growth, you know, because the plan doesn't work. That's the reason why. But you're the person that's sitting in the pew right now, or you have this week, you may be tonight. We're recording this on a Wednesday night. We are having church.
Mm-hmm.
There's two of us.
Or two or three.
We have assembled.
Yeah.
We've pitched our horses out front, tied them to the post of the beautiful shores of Greenville. But you're sitting there, and you're thinking, Lord, is this all there is?
Mm.
Is it just about coming Sunday morning, coming Sunday night, coming Wednesday night, listening to the preacher teach or someone else teach, teaching Sunday school? I want more.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the encounter.
Right.
And here's how you know you have the encounter. When God starts gently whispering to your soul, I have more for you, but it's going to require you to walk away.
Mm.
Then that's scary.
Yeah.
That's real scary. And
it goes against everything you've ever been taught.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's taken everything that you've built upon and taken it to the foundation and starting over.
Right.
But in doing that, when you're removed from that environment, then is it not true that you have 100% of God's attention and He's got 100% of yours? Because now you're seeking Him instead of the man of the church or the plan of the institutional programs.
Right.
You're seeking Him, and you're getting it directly from Him.
Right.
You know, it goes back to what you have said so many times in the past, at different times in the fellowship, the lady that was so excited about her evangelist. Tell that a minute.
There was this lady I was talking to in my hometown, and we haven't seen each other in years. And she was telling me about why she loves this evangelist. And I said, why do you love him? So she said, oh, he tells me how much Jesus loves me.
Hmm.
And I told her, I said, that's so sad. She said, why is that sad? You've hurt my feelings. I told her, I said, if I had to tell you how much your husband loves you, what kind of marriage do you have?
Hmm.
He needs to be the one telling you.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about right there.
Yeah. And see, I'm glad you brought that point up. Because if God is tapping you out for the journey, and we'll go into the term, what it means, He's courting you in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And He's stirring up spiritually things that you haven't considered before, because He wants to take you to a place you've never been. I was thinking, when you said that, it caused me, Brent, to think about this. You're sitting in the pew, you're having these thoughts, and you're thinking, how come everybody else doesn't feel this way that I do?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about it this way. I am not by no means dissing the Amish people when I say this.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're good people and they're dedicated to what they believe and they walk out their faith.
Yeah.
You know, as they believe it. But everybody knows that their stance on modern technology.
Mm-hmm.
They won't drive a vehicle. They drive a team, horse and buggy. But there's a lot of them that will ride with you. There is a better way. And even though they see it, they never really see it. Because it's been there in front of them the whole time.
Mm.
When you come from a place that there are no automobiles, and you move to a place that has automobiles, you see them moving and hauling stuff, and you're still staying in the way that you are.
The only thing that changes, there's a caution level now. They've got to be careful they don't get run over.
Right.
But they're not going to change from what they've always known.
Right, and what they've always done.
Right.
And so you're at the crossroads, just like we were. You know, I want to share this with you. I was associate pastor at a church, and father called me out to start a work to walk away from it. A good book that is historically accurate in its documentation, Pagan Christianity by Frank Viola and George Barna.
Mm-hmm.
It caused such a ruckus in the Baptist Church, not the Baptist Church, but the Southern Baptist Association. But Father arranged it so I got a copy of that and I read it. And when I went to validate some of the documentation, it really shocked me because I just always assumed the way we did it was the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And then Father started revealing to me how they did offerings were wrong. How they did the Lord's Supper was wrong. And I always believed it. I always was told, this is how we do it.
Mm-hmm.
There is only one way, and that's Father,
mm-hmm.
and how he shares to do it. And the institution got so tied up. But these things, so I feel led to start a work, and you've shared in that ministry. For you folks listening, our ministry is one of helping people. We're like, if you ever watch a Western and they're going on a long trip, there's a stopover place where they can stay the night, water the horses, they can get a meal and they can bunk down.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do. And Father put that on my heart initially 6 years ago, that there were people that needed to hear and see and experience His love.
A new way.
A new way.
Yeah.
And these were people that the institution did not want.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want a drug addict. We don't want someone that stinks, that doesn't bathe regularly. We don't want those things. And so I went to the pastor and told him I wanted to, this was me, this wasn't God. God told me to walk away. Just walk away, resign, and walk away. And I told, argue with God. I said, now listen to this, how dumb this is. Father, you don't know these people. They'll understand. They'll work with me.
Mm-hmm. How'd that work for you?
Man, I had a good friend, which is both of our friends. Can you see, check that? Hang on, folks, just 1 second. We're going to take just a moment for our sponsors. Sorry about that, folks. We had to take a momentary pause to put more logs in the Potbelly stove so we could stay warm while we're doing the podcast. But anyway, so I'll go to the pastor and I tell him that I would like to make this new ministry an extension of the church. And he had one of the predominant women. She basically ran the church for the most part.
She was probably connected with the money end, wasn't she?
Well, I mean, she had good intentions. She was one of the first members and was still alive and still there. But she told me, she said, if you leave our church, I pray that God breaks your legs. Mm. I think what kind of Christian would even say that, you know? And so Father led me out, and it was scary when I walked away.
Mm-hmm.
So you're at the point now that you have to make a decision. And if you haven't seen, there's three movies out by Keanu Reeves. You remember the name of those?
Yeah.
Oh, man. The Matrix.
Okay, yeah.
The Matrix is such... All three are excellent movies. I encourage all of you who listen are listening to the podcast to watch those because it really paints the journey.
Yeah.
You're at a point you have a choice to make. And you can choose to live the way you're living now and go on, and life will be what you expect.
It'll be what it's always been.
Yeah.
A life of questions that are unanswered. And in saying... you brought up the movies, The Matrix. This would be a wonderful time to let everyone that maybe knows or maybe doesn't that March 3rd.
That's right.
The Shack will be going to the theaters. And that was a major milestone with me. Just real quickly, it's about a man who was full of fear and isolation.
Right.
And he went to the shack by divine order, and he saw God in a whole new way. Did he not?
Yeah, and that's actually, for our listener, that's where they are right now.
Yeah.
You're at the crossroads. You can follow God on a journey.
So I guess what I would say is if you get the opportunity to see that movie called The Shack... That would be a wonderful place to start right there. If you're one of those that are out there listening, that's going through some of the things that we've talked about, that would be a wonderful start in experiencing Father in a whole new way.
That's right, because The Shack's going to totally twist your concept of how God, the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit presents themselves. And that's another book that really caused ripples in the institutions,
mm-hmm.
and multi-denominations, you know. Oh, there's no way that God could be, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It just so locked in. So you're at the point now that you have to make a decision. Like Brent said, you can stay where you are, live in a life that has, you know what to expect, it'll be planned. You can go to church and know, are you going to hear the word? Yeah, as long as the scripture's read, you're hearing the word.
Mm-hmm.
But do you want more? Do you want to walk with Father more? So that leads into our introduction for, we're going to start on the journey now. Brent, what's our first topic we're going to deal with? I believe it is...
Isolation.
Isolation.
Wow.
Now, when you... make the choice to walk away from where you are, there's going to be great fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's in front of you, you see and you know. And when you go into isolation, when Father pulls you out of that, you're going to feel isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And he does that, doesn't he?
Yeah. But he's faithful. He'll put somebody in your path. Look what he's done 6 years ago when you were going through it. And I hadn't begun the journey yet. I was still trying to make a difference and bring life to a dead and dying church. And they didn't want to do it differently. They asked me, what can we do? You came from a live church that was...
Did you hear that? That's an ambulance. They're going to try to resuscitate another church.
There you go.
They're on life support.
Well, we'll have to get into the little place on the hill over here in Greenfield where we started.
We'll tell y'all about that in the next podcast.
It's pretty good. They're dressed for the occasion.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Absolutely.
But yeah, don't feel like you'll be in this on your own. Number one, you'll be closer with Father than you've ever been. And he is faithful to... put somebody in your path. Now, I'm not saying there won't be a season of lonesomeness and the isolation is a hard place, but it's a great place to be with Father alone. There's Absolutely. No outside interference or voices to distract or mislead. You know, that's, I think, one of the biggest things with me being tapped out is I'm getting something authentic from him and not filtered through some man at a pulpit.
Right, or some denominational twist.
Right.
When I ended up leaving the church where I was at, I resigned that night, told him I wouldn't be back. And the first thing that God did was isolate me alone. He wouldn't let me. I had no fellowship. And for about 6 months, and I kept asking God, I said, why is this? He told me, he said, I have to isolate you because you base who you are with me on whom you fellowship with. Because it's just natural. We want to be with people of like mind. And in the isolation process, let me ask you this question. Does God not take your theology and throw it out the window?
Scramble it? Yeah.
I tell people I got this from Wayne Jacobson. I'm stealing it. Sorry, brother Wayne. Wayne Jacobson has an excellent website and a great podcast. I'm a recovering Pharisee because I've been so indoctrinated with the teachings. And in the isolation time, Father pulls you away from that. Now, here's the other thing that I went through, Brent. Man, I was afraid. See, I had preachers telling me, brother, you... Wait a minute, let me get my big preacher voice on.
Now, brother, you know that you can't... You can't be isolated alone. You need to be in here with other sheep.
And I said, why is that?
Well, see, when you're all out there alone, wolves can get you.
You're prey.
You're prey, yeah. But at least if you're in the fence.
And I thought about that, and I looked at him, and I said, well, brother, you know this term shooting fish in a barrel? I said, if all your livestock's in the fence, if the wolf can get in, he doesn't have to run. Mm-hmm. And all he wants is available to him. And I told him, I said, you know, I said, there, here's the thing. This time around, I'm following my Lord and Savior. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. And I said, if I have him as the shepherd, why do I need you? Now, I'm not saying that a pastor's role, you know, the scripture in Ephesians talks about the fivefold ministry. And I'm not saying that the pastoring or the pastorship is wrong. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that a lot of them don't have it right. But that's part of the isolation. God pulls you away, pulls you out, sets you aside, and hey, if you're in that spot right now, you're in there with good company. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul went to the wilderness. Moses, David. Mm-hmm. Jesus. And here's the cool thing. I like to think this is cool. Why is the isolation? And that's the first part of the journey. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
He has to separate you, come out from among them.
And be separate.
And I see, here's how the church has twisted that. Let me see if I can get my other voice on. We'll get Sister Betty. Well, I tell you what, Brother Brent, what you need to do is come out from among those heathens and dress like I do, and look like I do, put my hair up in a bun. I wear a dress because women need to wear dresses. Lord, forgive them if they wear those jeans. And you need to talk like I do, and read the Bible like I do, and believe like I do. You
know? Yeah.
And so, no, you're coming out from that. Mm-hmm. And starting a wonderful encounter, an embracement, and a journey with Father. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you're going to learn is that you don't know anything.
Yeah.
What was the what was the show? Hogan's Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the guy on there? I can't think of his name right now. I see nothing. I hear nothing. I know nothing.
Yeah.
And that's what Father does. He takes it and turns it around. Brother Brent, we have come to the end of this podcast. Any closing remarks before we move on?
The only thing I would add at this point is I want to reiterate something I think we said in the first podcast. If you're out there listening and you're not experiencing this and you're happy and you're getting fed, then God bless you. Stay right where you are. But for those that are feeling an emptiness or a void or can't seem to get the pieces of the puzzle to get the picture answered, Father has that.
He does. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. We appreciate you visiting the website. All podcasts are downloadable, so if you want to take them with you to the gym, burn them to a CD, or load them onto your MP3 player. Until next time, may God richly bless you. I'm Dan.
And I'm Brent.
And welcome to the journey.